At Care Heating and Cooling, we put you first. You are the reason we're open 7 days a week and why it's easy to schedule service at careheatingandcooling.com. Your safety is why we check every gas furnace for carbon monoxide. And it's because of you that our techs are paid to fix your furnace, not sell you a new one. So it's no surprise that last year, Care was awarded a BBB Torch Award for Ethics, because at Care, we're committed to doing business right. Call Care at 1-800-COOLING when you need a company you can trust.
Get ready. Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is almost here. It's Black Friday in July, and it's coming your way. For 5 days only, score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Plus amazing doorbuster deals and free shipping on everything. Yes, everything right to your door. So mark your calendars. Wayfair's Black Friday in July sale starts July 24th. Shop everything home at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Today on The Grave Talks, we continue our conversation about the Salem Witch Board Museum with owner John Kozik. Is there a proper way to dispose of a Ouija board if you want to get rid of it? Because I did see on your website, it said if you have a witch board story you wish to share or a board you want to remove from your home and you've got a form, you know, and if that was me, if I had one I was uncomfortable with, I probably have shipped it off to you already, but I don't have one. But is there a way, if someone's right now going, I'm sending John my board, I need it out of this house, is there a way that they can properly dispose of it themselves?
So my experience, and again, I have there's 30 that the TBHS has been donated. I can tell you that 28 of the 30 times when I have followed up with the previous owners saying, hey, I received the board, just checking in, how's everything doing? Those problems, whatever they claimed they had, went away. The 29th one I can't tell you about because, you know, there was no return address put on that package. I don't know who to contact. And there was one time where problems didn't go away immediately. They went on for about 3 months afterwards. That's a pretty extreme case. So I tell people, I'm like, give it to me or anybody. It doesn't have to be me. Anyone that is willing to take it. And I think that would be safe enough for you. Out of sight, out of mind.
Because we have another podcast, Real Ghost Stories podcast, where people submit their stories. Oh my gosh, I can't tell you the Ouija board stories that we've had over the years. And you mentioned that a little bit ago, that they threw it away, the next day, there it is. Or they tried to dispose of it in some way, it makes its way back. I have heard that story over and over and over. So there's got to be some truth to that. You know, I can see people making up stories too, but it makes me think there's some truth to it because we've gotten a version of that story so many times.
Oh, I agree. When people come to the museum, which is very common, they come to the museum just to find me, to tell me their Ouija story. You know, they want to tell me a story that people didn't believe them. They got laughed at or they want validation. And, I hear it all the time, you know. I think sometimes I've heard people say, yeah, I put it back in the house, or I did it to my sister or whatever. But in general, you know, it's a very common story. And you know, it makes you wonder, like, how is that possible? How is this many people claiming something like that?
And I definitely think you have a point there about probably the big brother who brought it back into the house, and the sister's like, oh my God, I thought I got rid of it. It's back, just to cause some drama. I could see that happening.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, when people come in, they do some confessing. They'll tell me they pushed the planchette when they were using it with their younger brother or sister. So you do hear some of those stories, but a lot of people start the conversation with, I found a Ouija board in my house and I have no idea how it got there. That is a very common story.
Really?
Yeah. And it's like, I'm always like, and then please tell me what else happened. And then it's like, no, then I don't feel comfortable with it. I got rid of it. I'm like, oh, all right.
Well. You didn't use it or anything.
Yeah. But it's a common enough story, as common as throwing it away and it coming back to me. Those are pretty common things.
Now, in your professional opinion, because you're the only person I know that professionally would be, I think, qualified to answer this, do you think that Ouija boards get a bad rap? Or do you think there is this line that they can kind of cross and take you into a darker place? Because, you know, you just hear all these stories about, you know, basically they're satanic. You know, I guess only demons are coming through or something. But it kind of, to me, always felt like, and I don't mess with Ouija boards at all. But back when, you know, I read tarot cards when I was young. And that was kind of what we wanted the Ouija board for. We were all about finding out what might happen, what's around us, what's kind of trying to tap into the spiritual side, which is really how they came about. It was more of a spiritual thing, not a demonic thing.
Correct. I mean, that's the original intent was always spirit communication with people, you know, starting off trying to reach the person that they lost. You know, today it gets used in a much different way by most people where it's like a dare game, a sleepover party game. And like I said, you know, I think of it, it works on your intent. So yes, mm-hmm. do I think bad things can happen? Certainly. Mm-hmm. But I think good things can happen with it too. So it's your intent. I will say from a pop culture standpoint, we know of way more horror movies with the Ouija board in it than we know of movies portraying it in a positive light, you know?
That makes sense to me too, because I think that's, if you're talking about, especially in a movie or something like that, or even a documentary about haunted things, if you come across the Ouija board story that predicted the names of your future husband, that's not exactly that scandalous. But when you come across the story, you know, and then these horrible things started happening, that's kind of what sticks with you. It's not like, oh, John's aunts, they knew who their husbands were going to be. That doesn't stick with you. But my God, that demonic story, or the house that became cursed because they didn't close the Ouija board out properly, that's what you remember.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. I mean, most people kind of have that experience. You know, the Ouija board, because, you know, it's a little different. You know, people that will have paranormal activity in their house, right? They there's a ghost in the other room, there's a ghost making noises. But with the Ouija board, you know, people believe that it's the ghost that's traveling through their body to mm-hmm. their fingertips and, you know, guiding the planchette. So that's what's pushing it. And that's a very creepy premise to people. It's like, wait a minute, there's a ghost in my body. And so it sets it up a little bit differently than your normal paranormal stuff where it's, oh, it's something in the other room. It's like, no, this thing's inside of me. So, you know, much different perspective from that point right from the beginning. But yeah, I think, you know, the bad stories are what people are most drawn to with it, or, you know, at least having a chance of having that experience. But I'm very fortunate because in the museum, I get so many people that come in that I have used it in a positive way. So I do get, you know, a lot of positive stories. I get a lot of people who, of course, messed around when they were younger, but I'm fortunate where I actually get some of the positive stuff.
Do you have a good positive Ouija board story that you could share?
Well,
because you're right. All we hear about is the demonic dark stuff.
Well, this is the one I'll tell you now, I think. Well, I'll tell it to you, and then I'll tell you what I think. So one of the stories I like to talk about is a woman that came to the museum about a year or so ago, and she had told me she used the Ouija board. She told me when she was a kid she had used the Ouija board, and it told her something bad was going to happen to her. And about an hour later, her house caught on fire. She had to rescue all of her pets and animals from the house. The next day, she went through the rubble. She lost everything except the Ouija board. Now, she was crying in the museum for a long time before eventually I said to her, well, that sounds like you're pretty lucky to have the Ouija board. She had viewed it what caused the fire, and I had viewed it as what gave her notice, saved her life. Of course, once she was way more calmed down, I joked and I said, you know, you might want to consider building a house out of Ouija boards. That kind of sounds like the safest place to be. So to me, I hear that story and I think of a positive. I don't know what the listeners might think. They might think that the Ouija board caused it, but I don't. And again, but I don't view the boards as evil or negative. So I don't know if that's why, but that's a story to me. That's a positive story.
And it's, you know, everything's kind of like that. It's how you view it, because the Ouija board didn't cause her house to burn down. And if it had, wouldn't she have perished with it?
Yeah.
So I see where you're coming from. It's kind of like prayer. You know, you can pray for someone to overcome their cancer. And then when they don't, then you say, well, God needed them there.
Yeah.
Which I understand why people do that.
Sure.
I'm not here to judge.
Yeah.
But, and it's interesting that she came to the museum after having that experience.
Sure.
That had to have been really overwhelming for her, and a lot of emotion went with that.
Absolutely. I am so grateful. You know, when people are scared and they still come to the museum and they've taken that through, I am so grateful for that. Because other than that, you could believe that it's a tool of the devil. You could believe that it's a stupid kid's game. I personally don't care what you believe. It's up to you to believe that, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't look to change people's minds. But if you've come to the museum and left your comfort zone and are risking, you know, to learn something there, something they're afraid of, I am so grateful for that opportunity that I really do want to talk things out with people. You know, I really want to get them to understand, or at least explain some things and show them some things. They can decide at the end if they've changed their mind or if they're still going to be afraid of it or whatever it is. But I at least like, I really appreciate they leave their comfort zone to try to learn something.
Well, and it was 100% marketed as a children's toy. Gosh, when did I come across it? It was pretty recently. It was one of the commercials from the 1960s with all these kids.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like this fun little kid game, the Ouija board. And so it was definitely marketed like that to kids. And so I think at that time, how evil could it have been when it's perceived as a kid's game?
Sure. Well, I mean, we always make the joke that the real evil of the Ouija board is the capitalist side of the Ouija board, of course.
Mm.
You know, it is patented as a toy. One of the main reasons that it's even considered a toy or a game is that's how it was taxed by the government. And it actually went to court in 1920, where the court ruled it a game to be taxed that way. The big change, you know, people had with it being a game is, back in 1890, there were no toy stores back then. So, you know, you went to a general store, you looked through a catalog, you ordered your goods, and toy stores start to appear roughly around 1920, where the manufacturers are working with pieces of wood. So they're making dollhouses and pull toys and that kind of stuff. But certainly by the time Parker Brothers, who was a gaming company, who had already had Monopoly and a bunch of other big games under their belt, once they bought it, that took it to a whole nother level, in the sense that now it's known as a game because it's made by a game company, but viewed much differently. Like I said, you know, they always play up the mystery of the board. And so they never, in any of their advertising, they never say, you're speaking to a ghost. They always say, how's it work? It's a mystery. And they leave it up to you to decide. So like the advertising from like the 60s, you know, girls are using it to predict fall fashions. One ad I have is like, are UFOs real? And, you know, they're asking kind of like silly kind of questions like that. So that's how it is marketed for sure.
Well, and speaking of marketing, I came across, there's two different ones I wanted to ask you about if you had them in your museum. But there's a Barbie Ouija board, and it's adorable. It looks just like Barbie, but it's a Ouija board. And the other one, which I think is really interesting, it's called the Holy Spirit Board, and it's a religious talking board. And to me, like, how could that one be okay if you don't think the other one's okay? You know, isn't it all intent and purpose?
Yep.
So I guess in the Jesus one, you think you're talking with the Holy Spirit, And with another one, you're talking to something demonic, I guess.
Yeah. Well, let's start with the Barbie one. There's a pink Ouija board that came out in 2008. I think a lot of times, I don't know if you could be thinking of that one.
It's actually Barbie. It looks like a Barbie board.
So I know an artist on Etsy, as far as I know, an artist on Etsy had created one as like, you know, just a novelty. I don't think it's a mass produced thing that actually Mattel made.
No, I don't think so.
I'm not aware
so
of that. So I think that's what we might be talking about. But the pink one, when you see the one from 2008, it screams Barbie because it's pink. The planchette's pink. It came with a pink carrying case. And the lettering on the box actually said, you know, ask the questions girls want to know in like this little Disney font. So with that one specifically, it came with suggestion cards for the kids to ask the board. And the questions were like, you know, who wants me to sit with them at lunch? Will I be in a rock band someday? Who has a crush on me? So that one there, they're specifically targeting two, you know, 8-year-old kids, really. Mm-hmm. And there was some backlash with that. They actually, some church groups got together. They called for a boycott of the toy store. It was Toys R Us that was selling it back in 2009. But by the time they got together to try to call for the boycott, the board was sold out. So they're actually a little bit too late.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. The Jesus board, or the Holy Spirit board, I would call that satire because there's actually, if you get a chance, go on YouTube, you'll see they made a commercial for it where Jesus tries to sell you the board. And he's got this really funny accent, you know, Jesus here. Are you still using a Ouija board like an effing nerd?
I've got to watch that.
It's a pretty funny commercial. He takes a golf club to like slam the planchette. He breaks one Ouija board over his knee. He's like, this is the only way to speak to me, Jesus Christ. So I know it's gone through phases where it's been out for about a year or so. And, you know, right around Christmas, it got a lot of popularity, people talking about it. And beginning of the year, Easter and whatnot. And so, but for me, I call that, I would think it's satire. I don't think the person making it was truly making something that they believed that you were going to speak to Jesus with, just more of the novelty of it.
Yeah, because that one I saw you can buy on Amazon.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I thought that was so interesting. But I guess, you know, there's people out there who bought it thinking that it's a direct line to Jesus.
100%. And that's why when it came out, I was like, I got to grab a couple of these because I don't think they're going to be around for very long because I'm sure people are going to be pretty upset with it. People are upset. The commercial, though, if you see the commercial, you'll definitely
be
like,
so going to Google that. I need to watch that.
I can send you the link. I keep it on my phone all the time because I have that board for sale at the museum. And so people always point at it, and I'm like, hold on. And then I play the commercial. I play the YouTube video for him because he's, you know, it's Jesus trying to sell you that board.
And in the museum, do you have a couple of the boards that, for whatever reason, maybe you just like the way they look, maybe one's kind of artistic or simple, or one has an interesting history, but do you have a few that are your personal favorites?
I do. I mean, my grandmother's board is in the museum, and I get to hang that up. I have her portrait next to it, and I love it because I get to, when people ask, you know, how I became interested, I can show them the board and show her a picture and get to talk to her about her every day. So that's really a pretty awesome thing for me, is to be able to talk about my grandmother every day. So that's kind of like the main favorite. But I have a lot of other ones. One of my favorites is going to be a metal board that was made in the 1930s, called the Electric Mystifying Oracle. It's a metal board that came with a metal planchette with a battery and a light bulb inside of it. And there's these little bumps on the board. So when the planchette passed over it, the light would actually flicker on and off and stuff. And, it was a flop. You know, they'd put all their capital into producing the board, and, in 1933, the Great Depression, nobody wanted to spend the $5 asking price for it. So a couple of years later, when World War II came, the company scrapped all of these for the war effort. And so it's a rare board. It's one of only 9 boards and 5 planchettes that still exist.
Oh, wow.
So that was like the grail that, you know, I hunted for a very long time to find the board. When it came up for sale, it was part of a whole collection. And the collector, a long-term collector, had some health issues getting out of it. And he wouldn't sell just the one item. He had to buy the whole collection. And so within 2 hours, I secured the funding. I picked up my best friend Merch in downtown Boston. I rented a car and we drove 21 hours straight down to Florida to buy that collection.
Oh, wow.
Because I figured that was my once in a lifetime opportunity to own that piece of history. So that's, for me, I'm very obsessed by these boards, and I have been known to, you know, be out in California within just 48 hours to buy boards, hop in a car multiple times without even knowing where I'm going, just heading in the directions I know the person's in to go buy them. So I'm about as obsessed of a collector as you're going to meet to any collecting whatsoever, you know? But so the Electric is really one of my favorites because it, you know, it's a grail that I hunted for. It's an oddball board. Really, that adventure I got to have with my best friend, you know, driving, not sleeping all night, working all day on a Friday in Boston, and then driving 21 hours straight, nonstop, you know, almost getting delirious doing it. Just the adventures we had there and back were pretty, we joked because when we finally got the collection, we're like, okay, now we can go get a hotel and sleep for a couple hours. And, you know, we hadn't slept in a long time. And we kept laughing. We're like, if we get in an accident, there's going to be Ouija boards all across the highway, and this is going to be the most investigated place in America. So just things like that. So that's what really made it special, was to have an adventure with a good friend.
On your Facebook page, I saw a post about AI-powered Ouija boards. What do you think is the future? Do you think there's an AI future there with them? I mean, there has to be, I guess.
If you had asked me, you know, I don't know, a couple months back or so, I would have been like, no, Ouija boards, everyone wants to touch it. It's the whole point of like putting your hand on the planchette, being in a dim lit room and like, you know, having your friends around you. But I did. So the AI board you're talking about is something that Hasbro rolled out for Halloween. And they put a lot of work into it. I think as AI, you know, gets more and more used, it's gonna be, I can see people using it. I mean, with that version they put up, you could ask, you know, we asked a question like, who invented the Ouija board? Now, nerding out here, there's about 5 people who have made the claim. You know, I don't really talk about them because it's, you know, it's a very convoluted story. But we just posed it to this AI Ouija, and it gave a right answer. It gave one of the right answers. And we're like, oh, so it delved deep enough to find something out very quickly. So I think as, you know, more and more stuff from people's lives get out there, their past, their relatives, I could see it definitely working.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. I you know, they did a really great job. They made it for them, you know, they made it very much like you couldn't just go on and ask, like, you know, want to talk to Hitler or something stupid like that. They made it not work if you asked those kind of questions. But the questions that you could ask, it gave pretty good answers. And that's with the AI technology we have today. I would think a couple of years from now, this could definitely catch on.
Because it seems like it would, for AI to work properly in this context, it would need to know about you as a person, you know.
Well, I mean, you absolutely. Somewhat. If you want to maybe speak to your uncle or father or something like that, absolutely. But, you know, in the way that, you know, some people are using it, where they're using it as like an oracle, right? It predicts past, present, and future events. I mean, during the Great Depression, these boards were very popular. They were being used to ask, obviously, financial questions, job opportunities. World War II, they're not just speaking with a spirit. They're asking, like, when Hitler will surrender. You know, what kind of career will I go into? Who will I marry? And then even with that pink Ouija, the Barbie one I was talking about, the suggestion cards, you know, who wants me to sit with them at lunch?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're asking those kind of like Oracle kind of questions, it can answer you right now.
It's so interesting to me.
Yeah.
So
I mean, I personally, I'm an old guy who likes items. I like things. I like to collect records. I like to collect Ouija boards. I don't want to have digital copies of music. I don't want to have digital movies. I don't want to have a digital Ouija board. That's me personally. Mm-hmm. But the, you know, as every generation comes along, the world is changing very rapidly. And, you know, people are not into stuff like they used to be. And so I think a lot of that stuff goes away. You know, a lot of the hard copy stuff, most people would be like, no, I can get any music I want through, you know, Spotify. Why would I need to own it? Or Amazon, I can download a movie. I'm still old school. I just like to own something for that money, mm-hmm. something that I can hold in my
hand. Put your hands on. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think we're rapidly changing away from that.
So with everything that you do with the Ouija board, think it gets a bad rap? Do you think that people kind of shut down when it comes to something like that? Or certain people, I think, obviously do. Yeah, Ouija board, I think, demonic. That's the association. Because when you think about it, like we mentioned tarot cards earlier, I don't think of tarot cards as demonic by any means.
Yeah.
And the Ouija board kind of falls into that category 100%.
To me. Well, you know, in all honesty, I think a lot of that has to do with, you don't see too many horror movies about tarot cards or pendulum boards, and it's the same thing. So I think movies have influenced people quite a bit. But, you know, how you view it is really, you know, your intent behind it and how you want to view something. So I personally don't know, but I think, like I said, most people tend to think of it as a negative thing.
And I think, too, if you go into anything in this world, whether it's a Ouija board or whatever it is, with the idea that this is going to bring on some sort of demonic activity, chances are you're going to be affected in that way.
100%. What I like about the Ouija board, and when I talk to people, is everybody has, you know, slightly different beliefs about it. And whatever rules, superstitions, beliefs that you have might be totally different than the person next to you. And nobody's wrong, but it will work differently for everyone, and you will influence it based on what you believe. You know, the very popular superstition that people know or have heard, that you should never use the Ouija board alone. That's a pretty popular rule. And that really, you know, starts from the movie The Exorcist. In that horror movie is how they explained how little Reagan became possessed. She used the board alone. And I could tell you, you know, during a war, women use these boards alone. You know, prior to The Exorcist, women would use them alone to speak to a deceased husband, father, brother, son. But I could tell you it's from the movie. Doesn't matter. If you believe you shouldn't use the Ouija board alone, you should not. You want the best experience possible. Because if you believe it and you use the Ouija board, you think you're doing something you shouldn't be doing, that will definitely influence what happens.
I agree. I think that's very good advice too.
Yeah.
And if you want more information, you've got a website that people can go to, SalemWitchboardMuseum.com. But I do want to stress, if you go there, check out the merch. You guys have some really cool stuff.
Thank you. I pride myself on being able to take some of these cool Ouija images that have been lost and, you know, do t-shirts from them. I'm a merch person, so I love, like, when I travel, you see all the old pennants that they used to put up, you know, for all the little tourist traps and stuff. And so I've made my own pennant. So, yeah, quite a bit of merchandise, and always coming up with something new.
And it's fun. It's like, for this audience that likes this sort of paranormal show, it's perfect for them. Like, you'll find a gift for somebody there. So even if you can't make it to the museum right away, put it on your bucket list and buy some merch in the meantime, because I was loving the merch. It's really good. Good job on that.
Thank you. I have a lot of talented friends who I tap to design stuff for me. And so it's all stuff that, you know, the colors, I love orange and black. That's, you know, my favorite. I try to incorporate that into a lot of the artwork for the museum merchandise.
Well, check that out at SalemWitchboardMuseum.com. And you can also search Salem Witchboard Museum on Facebook and get some more information that way. I was so excited about this conversation, and this was fantastic.
I had fun. Thank you so much for having me.
This was fantastic. Thank you so much for doing this.
My pleasure. Anytime.
And that wraps up our conversation with John Kozik about the Salem Witchboard Museum. For more information, visit their website at SalemWitchboardMuseum.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes without the commercials, then become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts, where you can try it for 3 days free, or you can go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you for listening.